Well, good evening. Well, as you all know, our pastor sends out a letter to us every year, and this year he sent out a letter to us to encourage us this new year to be lights of the world, as he stated in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, and to be shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And that was in Proverbs 4, verse 18. Well, with this in mind, and seeking more insight regarding the light of the Bible, I was reminded of one of my favorite books in the Bible. And that was the Gospel of John. If you have your Bibles open to the Gospel of John, you can read with me. John writes a description of Jesus in chapter 1. And in verses 4 and 5, he said, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Before we go any further, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, your word is more sure than anything of man's. We acknowledge your sovereignty in our lives, and we come before you in praise and thanksgiving. Dear Lord Jesus, you are our lamp shining in a dark place. Through your guidance, may we focus our attention on your truth. I pray that the Holy Spirit will lead us as we look into your word this evening. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Well, I've titled my talk for tonight as Light and Understanding. I believe that in knowing of the light in God's word, we can better understand its relevance in our lives. In Vine's, I looked up light in Vine's dictionary, and it describes light as a luminous emanation, probably a force from certain bodies, which enable the eye to discern form and color. Light requires an organ adapted for its reception. Where the eye is absent or where it has become impaired from any cause, light is useless. Metaphorically, light is as reaching the mind or to make appear or to make evident. Well, the word light, as we just read in this passage from John, was of significant importance to John, as he used the word 25 times in his gospel. In the Bible, light is used to describe not only God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son, but also those who respond favorably to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. This point can easily be seen and understood when John again in chapter 12, verse 35, wrote these words from Jesus himself. And if you would turn there with me. And it says, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be children of light." Well, in these verses, Jesus is calling himself the light. But he's also asking the listeners to believe in him so that they, as believers, may become children of light. In the same passage, we also read that Jesus speaks of darkness and the one who walks in darkness. This person is the one who does not believe, the one who does not understand. Keep the vine's description of light in your mind as I read the New American Standard Translation of Matthew 6, verses 22 and 23. It says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness." Well, also, if you go over Paul's travel, when he was traveling on the road to Damascus and was stopped short by a blinding light, the light of Jesus Christ, yet his vision was impaired for 3 days more until he was filled with the Holy Spirit and the scales fell from his eyes. Then and only then did he understand the Old Testament scriptures about Jesus Christ. Paul later, when writing to the Ephesians, wrote concerning darkness and the children of light. And then if you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 8 through 14. And then if you read along with me, Paul was saying, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of these things, those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." In speaking of this passage, going back to the New American Translation, the verse 13 reads, "But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light." Well, the words manifest in the King James and visible in the New American Standard could be interpreted to mean to make clear or to make known or to understand. If we stop at the level of human knowledge and human understanding, then life is narrow and limited, and we will never truly understand the workings of God in the world. It is only as we seek that deeper level of truth, the level of divine light that is found in Scripture, proceeding from the mouth of Jesus Christ, our source of light, that we can truly begin to comprehend what God has for us, knowing that God's desire is to sanctify us by separating us from evil ways. Only then can we understand God's purposes in the world, as well as our own meaning, our own place in God's purposes. We understand then that Jesus Christ is not only the center of our faith, but the source of life and light. As it says in verse 14, "Jesus shall give thee light." Well, Jesus shall give you understanding of his truth. So in summary then, we can say that intellectually, light refers to biblical truth. And morally, light refers to holiness or purity. In other words, as children of light, we are given biblical truth, which leads to holiness and purity through Christ our Savior. If we go back to John chapter 1 and verse 5, we read that the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In these words, we find the first clue in John's gospel of a struggle between belief and unbelief in the world. The word comprehend is better meant overcome, that the darkness is not able to overcome the light. But I like the word comprehend in that it's synonymous with the word understand. And you could read that as that the darkness is not able to understand the light. John has said that Jesus is the light of men, the source of all understanding of true reality. He is the basis of the knowledge of truth. To a world full of darkness and confusion, John declares that it is only in the light of Jesus Christ that we begin to see the things the way they are. True darkness, a darkened heart, a darkened understanding, this kind of darkness pervades our entire culture, our entire world. A decline of moral standards in television, in movies, in music, in the internet, in marriage and divorce, and on and on. All these factors are eating away at what holds our society together, destroying our families and sabotaging our next generations. Where anarchy and violence are on the rise and standards of behavior are on the decline, this is darkness. Well, I believe this darkness as opposed to light is what Paul meant when he wrote in Romans chapter 1 and verses 19 through 21. And if you would like to turn there and read with me, I'm sure you all know this verse, but here we read, it says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. In this last verse, you could read, as their foolish heart was unbelieving, they failed to recognize God in his word and in him making himself known to him. Clearly, the words of the Gospel of John and of Paul in Romans is as relevant today as when they first wrote them to a dark and evil world of the first century Roman Empire. If you return back to the Gospel of John in chapter 1, verse 4, John tells us that Jesus is the source of eternal life. When you have life from him, eternal life, then you also have access to the source of light, the light of God's truth. And what is that light but understanding? So if we ask, how do we understand God's truth? The beginning of the answer is just what I said. It's when we have life, eternal life, from Jesus Christ. I ask you now to turn to Psalm 119 and start in verse 33 through 40. We can see as we read here, the psalmist is seeking understanding of God's word. He says, teach me, O Lord, the ways of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. And then going to verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. All through this passage, the psalmist is pleading with God. Teach me, O Lord. Give me understanding. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies. Quicken me through thy way. Establish thy word. I have longed after thy precepts. The psalmist wants to know God's word. He wants to know the source of his strength. In verse 105, the writer of the psalm cherishes the gift of divine instruction as a lamp to my feet and a light for my path, without which he would be in the dark and unable to find his way. He recognizes that to understand God's word is to know the way of life. In other words, to understand his own existence in the light of God's word and the light of his Son, Jesus Christ. A lack of understanding of God's word is itself a state of death, as is a lack of understanding of Jesus Christ a state of death. We use the phrase Word of God in two ways. The physical printed Bible is often called the Word of God, but scripturally, it also means God's message, either from the prophets of the Old Testament or the Gospel of the New Testament. One could have the printed text without having God's message. We need to understand God's message for us, and that understanding is through interpretation of God's word. In all but one of the 176 verses of Psalm 119 refer in some way to what the psalmist variously called God's word. Words, precepts, statutes, law, promise, testimonies, and ordinances, which spell out God's ways and his righteousness. Give me understanding, prays the psalmist, under many kinds of pressure and an emotional uneasiness. And yet he holds fast to the word of the Lord and rests his hope in his truths. Distrusting himself and his own thoughts, however, he prays for understanding five times. In verse 34, in verse 73, in verse 125, in verse 144, and again in verse 169. He prays again, give me understanding that I may keep thy law. Every day this should be our prayer, for it is not enough for us to know the text of Scripture if we fail to understand it. So that we think we are living by it when we are not. As it says in James 1, verse 27, that we should be doers of the word and not hearers only, lest we fool ourselves. The New Testament identifies the ministry of interpretation and application needed by the psalmist in his pleas. That ministry is the work of the Holy Spirit. That Spirit is identified in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, as the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. Are we, as the psalmist, praying that we understand God's word? Are we praying also that the Holy Spirit give us understanding to interpret God's word? When we read and try to understand God's word, it is the Holy Spirit that helps us to interpret its meaning to us. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us, and with that, utilize at least three of the basic rules of interpretation. First, look at Scripture historically in a context of the life and times of the writer, relating what each writer was trying to convey to his readers at the time of his writing. And that way, we do not inject our culture into its meaning. Second, when trying to understand Scripture, we should see it as an organized thought or plan, as a blended combination of thoughts proceeding from one mind, that of God the Spirit, the primary author of it all. That is, do not take one verse out of context of the whole meaning of the Bible. And then third, look at the Scripture practically, which means it is a conversation between God and ourselves. Seek always what the Word of God means to you at that present time and moment to prompt your response to Him. Think also of what God's message means to you in your future endeavors. We study Scripture in the presence of a living God. Each time we read, it should be as if he handed us a personal note from himself and stays with us while we read it to hear what our answer, our response will be. Of course, we all know that being in God's word constantly will help us to be in tune with God's will. In John MacArthur, in his commentary of Psalm 119, says this: the psalmist involved his life in the Scriptures, quote, from before sunrise to beyond sunset. The Word of God dominated the psalmist's life. For example, before dawn in verse 147, daily in verse 97, seven times daily in verse 164, nightly in verses 55 and 148, and at midnight in verse 62. Well, also taking another quote from a book by J.I. Packer called The Truth and Power, he said this, quote, we should always approach Holy Scripture as Psalm 119, verse 105, in effect directs when it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. See in your mind's eye the picture. Never get away from it. You have to take a journey across open country, and it is dark. Traveling in the dark across open country, rough country too, you are at risk. The earliest thing in the world, or the easiest thing in the world, would be to lose the path, stumble and fall over some obstacle that is in the dark you could not see, and do yourself serious mischief. The likelihood of your reaching your destination in the dark is small. However much you squint your eyes and glare into the blackness, you are still unable to see the way to go. There is a path, you know that, but without a light, you cannot hope to see it, to keep it. You need a light. It was oil lamps in the ancient world. But think of it, of a flashlight as what you need today. And God, in his mercy, puts one in your hand. You shine it in front of you, and you can see the next bit of the track, so that step by step, you know where to put your foot. You walk without stumbling. You follow the path. You move ahead forward towards your goal. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path, unquote. Well, in these passages, we have seen that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He is the source of our eternal life. He is our light in a dark world. It is our responsibility to seek understanding in the message God has for us. Only through the help of the Holy Spirit and guiding light of our Savior can we expect to stay on the path he has chosen for us. The path that leads us to be conformed to his image, his children of light. We are truly blessed to be part of a church in which God's word is studied and taught in clarity and truth. Our leaders seek to show us God's word as it is presented in the Bible, to help us understand it and to help us be the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Well, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, your word is truly a lamp unto our feet. Your Son, Jesus Christ, is our guiding light in the darkness of this world. Lord Jesus, may your light dwell within us as we go about each day. We pray for wisdom in your word, that we may observe it with our whole heart. We pray that as we read and study your word, that the Holy Spirit will always guide us in understanding and truth. We give you thanks for the mercy and grace you so freely bestowed upon us and the care provided to us each day. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can remember your sacrifice for us as we celebrate that sacrifice this evening with the body and blood of your covenant with us. As children of light, we ask these things in our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.